So, love the homework, always do, the challenge homework. But you've probably discovered along the way now that this concept of elevating your life, pretty much the secret is, if you want to elevate your life, you have to elevate others. And, you know, we talk about this, and we keep talking about the notion of self-development. This is where we're talking, the self-development of self-awareness, self-reflection, self-knowledge. And just like your mom said years ago, you can't take care of anybody before you take care of yourself. It's not selfish. This is what we have to have in order for you to be a great coach, great leader. And, you know, in my fold, personal training, life coaching through the years, I always remember the one or two clients, and mostly they were moms, who just pretty much neglected themselves. And they're such giving people that sometimes they overlook their own needs, their own wants. And so what we're saying is we have to be careful. We have to have that work-life balance we talk about. But if we're going to elevate others, we have to elevate ourselves. Can't do that until we really are our best self in all those areas. So just a reminder there. But as we review this challenge, you know, we talked about a pilgrimage. And the question was, where would you go if you could go anywhere? Where would you travel to? And again, they were just awesome answers. Always tickled to share some of them. Of course, you had your typical really cool places like Tahiti. I had a Bali. I had a Bahamas. I had a couple of Hawaii's, of course. The Netherlands. That was always a good one. One of our guys talked about backwoods and really going deep into the backwoods, kind of like a Trappist monk would do, but, you know, taking just the bare necessity. That would be an adventure. We're not talking a pleasure trip there, so I kind of like that notion. I kind of like the one that we were talking about, World War II. I have a couple guys here in common. I'm going to have to connect you two guys together, but the Band of Brothers tour. And some of you may know about that. And that's really combining some history and really heartfelt trips and, you know, dreaming about those. I think probably one of my favorite was where they would go. They would go to heaven. What do you know about that? And hopefully we're all going to go there someday, if you believe in that. But I wouldn't mind taking a glimpse right now. I don't think anyone has this at this point. So if you've done any self-reflecting, no one's really there have been a few books, I think, that may have not quite hit the mark on that. But, you know, I just love the notion of thinking about that. Also, I'm going to give Gio second place for ideas. Now, only because this guy's thinking out the box. And literally outside the box, maybe inside the box, because he's talking about taking a camper and going traveling across, and not just the country, but very specific places, with the bare minimum. And that's pretty adventurous. And I've had one of those campers before, and I couldn't wait to sell it because it's a lot of work. But it was kind of cool, and it was fun and adventurous. So, Gio, I feel you, and maybe we'll have to get you hooked up with a camper dealer here. But I think probably the one that got me thinking most was one of our guys here talking about going back in time. Where do you want to travel back in time? And it wasn't just fun back in time. It was going back in time to be a fly on the wall with his parents and to see how they actually navigated through the difficulties and how they made it through life. And man, that's a pretty I think that's a pretty cosmic notion. So we've got people thinking here, Rob, and you know, there's all kinds of places that we're going to go to yet. And my advice, remember, good coaches don't give advice unless they're really asked, but I'm saying work towards it. You know, we always start off by saying, you know, success, you know, hard work doesn't guarantee success. But, you know, it's necessary if you're going to be in the game. But start putting plans together. You know, the dreams become reality. There's no reason why you can't get to Italy. Some some of us wanted to go to Italy. There's no reason why you can't get over to Europe. I mean, some of it's money, some of it's scheduling, some of it's just working it and making it happen. So you can do that or not. So here we are. Our next call, we're talking about the 8 magic words. So if you haven't figured out what the 8 magic words are by now, it's pretty simple. And this was actually a graduation present I received from college from my monk mentors, and the 8 magic words simply, everything you do must be done with love. And that is our quote of the week. But if you think about that, that's quite a present to give out. And everything you do must be done with love. I'm talking about a different kind of love also. We're going to rediscover that here in a second. But I'm researching, and in the research, I came up with a study called the Grant Study. So over 80 years ago, this is an 80-year consecutive years, longest-running study on human development. The secret to a good life is simply love. And I'm gonna start thinking that they might be onto something here. And so this Grant Study now became the Harvard Study of Adult Development. I want to read just one little thing from this, and it's talking about success and love. And it says, the person that had this study dedicated his life, and it shows. He's no longer director, but very much involved. He interviewed the Harvard men for his latest book, Heaven on My Mind, which explores whether people become more religious and spiritual with age. They don't, in parentheses. He explored whether Alcoholics Anonymous is more effective than drug therapy. It is, in parentheses. And while long marriages don't survive out of happiness, or romantic love, but rather knowing that you can count on your partner when it really matters. So, we think we know what this word love is, and we're going to look at it a little deeper, but some of us may have may discover that's not really what we think. But I can tell you that just channel surfing the other night, and it was Denzel Washington. Now, we all watch movies. We all know who Denzel is. You may like him or not. But it was pretty eloquent. This was an auditorium or whatever the heck they call those things there that he's at. There's thousands of people, and they call him up. And the first person he recognizes, of course, is his wife. And he's taken a pretty humble approach. It was a nice introduction that he was given. And he took the opportunity not to go on, didn't have a long speech. All he said was, thank you. He wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for his wife. But he liked to show a 30-second clip of a video they did on his father-in-law just years before he passed, a couple years ago. So here comes this older man, and he's on the tape, and he simply says, you know, people keep asking, what is your purpose? What is my purpose? And he was very heartfelt when he said, you know, it's pretty simple. Take care of each other. We're supposed to take care of each other. We're here because we're supposed to love each other. And that was Denzel's acceptance speech, essentially. And I thought that was pretty eloquent because really this great symbol of love, of course, the heart, is was a second parting gift I got from the monks. And that is, if your heart's not right, your words won't be right. And you've heard me say this before, and it's that little metaphor of the tube of toothpaste where they got that vision. When that toothpaste comes out, it's not coming back in. So I think as teachers, leaders, mentors, when we say heart of a coach, heart of a teacher, we've got to really be in touch with what that means. If we don't have a good heart, we may not have good words, and that may come back to haunt us. And one of my favorite old parables, old proverbs, is a good heart, a good person produces good thoughts from the treasury of a good heart. And so I think the monks were on to something there. I think it's right because our words do matter. And I just love sometimes when you start, one of my last reflections I put on my website was a reflection on the heart, and it was just talking about loving you with all my heart. You've heard these metaphors. Had a heart as big as this room, a heart of gold, cold-hearted, good-hearted. Of course, Braveheart was a pretty good movie. Half-hearted. Two hearts beat as one, hungry hearts. Now you go into the song genres, heartbreak, bless your heart, a heart full of love. and that leads us to use one of our words that we use quite a bit in the training center, and that is heartitude. And the definition of heartitude is a capacity to sustain heartfelt, positive emotions. That comes right from yours truly and Coach Hughes. That's our collaboration. But, you know, we use the word love. I want to give you the visual. Maybe you've heard of this guy, Dabo Swinney. He's a football coach at Clemson. He's won the last couple national championships. He's got something going there, but it was not long ago, I think it was 2017, when he was interviewed. And it was really eloquent when I heard this interview. It was late at night, and it was at the end of the game. I'm tired, and there was Coach Dabo. And the interviewer said, Coach, what did you say to your team? You were down, and how did they rally to win the game? And he was out of his mind, but he just said, you know, our word was love this year. And he adopted John Gordon's word, love. But he said, our team, I said, I don't know how we're going to do this, fellas, but I know you love each other, and I just know that that's going to be the vehicle that drives us to victory. And now I'm pretty jazzed up, because here's a football coach on national TV. His speech is talking about love, and I don't think, you see that every day, but I think you're seeing it more and more. And, you know, last week we talked about developing more intuition, and I think that's part of knowing what your heart is about and knowing what love is. And so I just dug out a few of my favorite little quips about love. One is Mother Teresa, let us greet each other with a smile. A smile is the beginning of love. How many times do we say in the story, you got to smile? How many times do we talk about that universal law of smiling? If I walk into a room and there's two people, one's smiling, one's not, I'm going to smile 100%. A Martin Luther King, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. And one who applies all of us, St. Thomas, there could be no joy in life without joy in work. We all know we have to figure out how we put this in our family and work. And then finally, I'm going to use Warren Buffett, because when I see something about Warren Buffett, I'm going to listen. If he's talking, I'm going to shut up and listen. But one of his little quips is the measure of success is, he says his measure of success is one word, love. You can't buy it. In fact, the more you give it away, the more you get. And here's one of the richest guys in the world. We've talked a lot about him, his giving project. But his mission statement is one word. And so you start thinking, what are the benefits of actually adopting this kind of philosophy? How is this going to elevate my life? Well, you think about it. When people feel loved, and I'm going to put loved / appreciated, because that's part of what love is, the same feeling as when you receive money. So you see some of these brain studies, when you feel appreciated, it's like you've just received cash. We all know what that feels like. And you think about how you feel when you are appreciated and when you're loved. I really think we are here to make people feel better about themselves. Always tell people how important they are. Not just your family. You can do this more often. Because it's really true, you just don't take the time to tell them. And I think also in that category, tell people how proud you are of them. You don't have to be a dad talking to a kid. You can talk to a fellow coworker. You can talk to anybody and say, hey man, I'm really proud of you. Proud the way you did that. I'm proud of how you said that. And so I think you have to really take any chance you get, you've got to show people love. And where does that start? I think we'd all agree, it starts with your family. It starts at home, and it comes out of that. And it goes to work, and it comes out of that. And it goes to your random act of kindness when you see anybody in your path. And you've got plenty of opportunity. I know my gang in here does, because they travel quite a bit. And you hit those airports, and they need some more love in those airports. Need some more love on those Ubers. So just a little bit more on love. If we really examine it, we go to the Greeks. This is probably a review for most of you guys, but when we talk about love, the Greeks wrote a lot about it, and the ancient Greeks talked about eros love, that romantic love. That is not the love we're talking about at our stores. That's not the love we're talking about. The Philos love, getting a little closer, Philos, Philadelphia, brotherly love. And we understand we have love for our brother and our sister, yes. But really the love we're talking about is that unconditional love. The Greeks call it the agape love. And that's the love that I recall my early mentors telling me, I don't have to like that guy over there because of what he does, but I do have to love him. And that's kind of a third level type love where I'm going to love my fellow man unconditionally based on who they are, not what they're doing. Of course, we can't talk much about love without talking about what we do when we go into the store every time. And that is we get behind that line and we randomly ask one of our crew, hey, man, why do you work here? It's one of our favorite things. We did a 56-second on that. But we still do it, and it's usually still 80% anecdotal research. Why do you work here? And they look around, and they say, well, why do I work here? I love it here. I love these guys. I love the atmosphere. I love my boss. Can't be talking more enough about that, because when we say they love it here, then we know there's something good happening in that 14 feet. And we do refer to that 14 feet as 14 feet of love, that new commandment. And so how do we use it more at work? We can do it quite easily. And just a few examples. Hey, man, I love that tie you're wearing. Hey, love the way you wrap that stuff. Talk to your customers. How you love that shirt they're wearing. Just giving simple observations out, compliments. That's all part of unconditional love. And so recently I'm reading a little biography on a guy named Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Anybody heard of von Goethe? Well, I actually took a few notes on this guy because one of his quotes he was talking about in this biography was, we are shaped and fashioned by what we love. I don't think anybody can really disagree with that. Once we start getting enamored with something or what we truly love something, whether it's our work, whether it's an item, we seem to get pretty well succumbed by it, fashioned by it, what he says. But this was this German guy. He was a poet, a playwright, a novelist, a scientist, a statesman. That goes on. A critic. But I think he was probably one of the greatest literary figures of our modern times. And he's talking about love. So it doesn't go away. And so I think really to help better understand a little bit more about this emotion, I'm going to the Harvard Business Review. And, of course, you've heard me use that before. But if you want to understand more about love in your life, then you've got to write down what you're grateful for. And that comes straight from the Harvard Business Review. Write down what you're grateful for? Well, what a good time that is. I'm driving home yesterday on the radio, and they said, you know what a good project is for your kids? Go buy a pumpkin. Oh, you probably have already. But sit till Thanksgiving, and every day, whether it's morning, night, noon, whatever, have your kids write something on that pumpkin they're thankful for, grateful for, and right up to Thanksgiving. I thought, all right, that's a pretty good project. Get a big pumpkin. Maybe you can do that. And that's a pretty good challenge because you're going to find that that's going to be one of our challenges tonight. But it goes on to say,